Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, the Prevention and Youth Services Coordinator at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us. And a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. Our guest this month is local high school student Kai. Our conversation today focuses on the film Barbie. This story follows Barbie, who lives a perfect life in Barbieland until she begins experiencing existential thoughts and physical imperfections. Along with Ken, she travels to the real world to discover what's causing these changes. There, Barbie learns about sexism, identity, and what it means to be human, while Ken explores patriarchy and self-worth. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our helpline at 1-800-315-5579. I'd like to now introduce Kai for our conversation about Barbie.
I love watching things. I love reading books. And actually, one of my first memories of seeing that type of relationship in fiction where I was like, oh, this is kind of weird, was a book I was reading. And the book itself, it was good. Like, it was a fantasy novel, and you know how those tend to be. But the character, main character, I'm pretty sure she was underage, started having relationships with her teacher that were sexual. And I was like, well, that was weird. So it was less of a, this is okay for me, and more like a, I'm uncomfortable because I know it's not okay. My parents have always been very open with me about, you know, what is and is not okay, what people should and should not be doing to you. God knows some parents don't do those things. But I think growing up, if you're aware of the signs, the more you can see, like, these dynamics in series. And honestly, it ruins them for me because I don't want to see a character forgiving their abuser over and over again just because it's fictional. It's quite frankly a little bit uncomfortable because it's so ingrained in our society that we're supposed to forgive people for doing those things that it's like, we're on the same reality here at this point. So it's fictional, but it's not coming off as fictional.
I love that you brought up that it wasn't normal for you, and that was something that you realized when you were reading that book. And it's not something that everybody has at home. And so I always think that it's really interesting when people tell me, oh, this was normalized in my home, or it wasn't. And it sounds like those things weren't normalized for you, which is awesome. But it does affect us. So we are going to be talking about the Barbie movie. Can you talk a little bit about why you chose the Barbie movie for our discussion today?
So actually, the first time I saw the Barbie movie, it was on my birthday, and I think I was turning like 15, and it was with my father, and I cried. I don't cry very often. Something you know about me, I don't ever cry. I just don't like doing it. But also, after the movie, all I ever saw people talking about it was Ken, and it was like, well, you missed the point of the movie then, because all you're talking about is Ken, his stupid song, which, by the way, is not that good. That's my hot take. His song was not that good. And so all I saw was, like, I'm Kenef and Ken, and it's like, no, nothing for the actual message of the movie. Like, why are we talking about Ken when, yes, he's a main character, but the entire point is that he's wrong in most of the things he's doing, even in the beginning of the movie, before the patriarchy stuff.
Yeah, that is something I noticed as well. Ken was very much a focal point for conversations, and I thought the actor did a very, very good job, but I do agree that I think a lot of people missed the point of the movie and what the message was. I'm pretty sure Ryan Gosling, who plays Ken, actually said the same thing. Yeah, he won an award for that song. And he said, like, you're missing the point. I, like, thank you, but I shouldn't be up here. Basically, his behavior is pretty icky from the get-go. And I think that gets missed a lot and misinterpreted a lot in conversations that I've heard where people are saying, well, Barbie really doesn't treat Ken very nicely in the beginning. But I think What I noticed was she's very clearly uncomfortable around Ken and doesn't want to necessarily be in a relationship with Ken, but it feels like she's supposed to be, so she stays. And she's very clear about, like, I don't want you to be here. I want to be with my friends. And he's just not getting that hint. And I think that that mirrors real life pretty closely a lot of the time. Were there some examples that you can think of where those behaviors are maybe not so great and maybe they got missed a little bit?
The beginning of the movie where she's heading back home after the party and he's trying to kiss her and he's like, I was thinking I could stay over your house, and she's like, no, it's girls' night. With subtext, we know he knows it's girls' night because it's girls' night every night. He just keeps like pushing subjects, like, hey, I'm gonna stay over your house, can I stay over your house? And she's like, I don't want you to. He was like, because we're boyfriend, girlfriend. He's like, okay, to do what? He's like, I don't know. Think you have an idea. But that's when I was first like, I need this guy off my screen. It resembles so closely to real life that it made me unhappy that people were missing it. I see so many people who like end up like losing their friendships for like their partners just because their partners are like, well, why aren't you hanging out with me more? And it's like, well, they already spend half their time with you. How much more time do you need together? I mean, I have personally had friends who like will spend more time with their boyfriends than me, or like every conversation is about their partners, and it's like, at what point do you not get tired? But Barbie's uncomfort was really what stood out to me, because nobody wants to feel forced into a relationship that she never said yes to. Because at the end of the movie, she says, I'm sorry for leading you on, which, by the way, I have different opinions on that apology, but presumably she never said yes to this relationship. She was just kind of going along with it because that's what, she was created for and stuff like that, because she felt like she had to. It's also very relatable because so many girls get asked out and, they feel like that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be dating because everyone else around them is. And, that's how they get into these terrible relationships, because they don't know the person. And so they're just dating just to date.
I think that a lot of people will be in a relationship just because they feel like they're supposed to be in a relationship, and that being in a relationship is better somehow than being alone. Or they're like worried about being alone, or that relationship maybe feels like safe to them because they've been in that relationship for so long. And even if they're maybe not happy, they'll still stay for that because they know that relationship is there for them. And I definitely see what you're saying about people choosing their partner a lot over friends, and staying connected with our friends and our support system is so important. And it's okay to want to spend time with a partner for sure. That's an important part of a relationship, obviously. But it is also important not to drop off on those other friendships, those other relationships that you have with someone, or like your activities that you like to do. And I do feel like that happens a lot in real life.
Because one of the common tactics in domestic violence situations is they will isolate you. No friends, no family, no way out. And so I'm not saying that's what Ken was doing, because clearly he wasn't. But I am saying that that is also parallel to, real life. While you're spending so much time with your friends, you should be hanging out with me more. Do you hate me? And so eventually they get isolated from everyone around them. And, that's how we have situations where people are stuck in domestic violence, but they can't get out because they have no money. They have no support system, no family, no friends. They don't know how.
That's a really great point. That does happen often, especially in situations where dating violence or domestic violence is happening. And it's important to note, too, that relationships typically don't start off that way. So by the time it gets to the point where you are not talking to your friends anymore, or you are feeling like you don't have that support anymore, it's a little bit too late because we can't see it as it's happening. So while no, Ken in this situation is definitely not doing that, a lot of times that is how that starts out, and then it escalates into that place where you are isolated from all of your support people and money and resources and things like that. How do you think that this situation could impact young people who watch this and don't have that sort of background knowledge to know that these things happen this way and that they're not okay?
I know the main demographic for the Barbie movie was, children and teenagers. But I just think the behaviors and the way people responded to the behaviors, making them out to be a joke instead of really embracing how toxic those behaviors really were, I think that can kind of come off as, well, it's fine. Fine for your boyfriend to love the patriarchy because he thought it was about horses. And it's fine for, your boyfriend to quite frankly have, what is the word I'm trying to think of right now? It's when someone acts stupid on purpose so their partner will do things for them. And it's commonly seen in men, like willful ignorance. It's okay for your boyfriend to act stupid on purpose because at least it's funny. One, that is not the case at all because your boyfriend should not be acting, your partner in general should not be acting stupid on purpose because it's funny. I think it's a little bit different when it comes to women because of the, bimbo stereotype and how a lot of, people expect them to be stupid. I mean, you see how smart women are treated. It's terrible. Their IDs are stealing, but it kind of gives off the wrong message to have everything Ken says made out to be a joke. Like, I kind of understand where they were going with, like, he's being so stupid, guys, because this is not how things are supposed to be. But the way it comes off is more like, isn't he funny, guys? Why don't you just laugh at his antics and ignore what he's saying? And that's kind of how I feel about his song, because the song comes off really hype-peppy. But if you pay too close attention to the lyrics, it's just him being like, I want her to like me. Why won't you like me? What can I do to make her like me? Despite Barbie being like, I don't like you. I will never like you. Please stop.
I think that you nailed it. It does seem like everything is portrayed as just like a joke or very lighthearted, and that makes sense in a movie. It's for, entertainment, and that was part of it. But I think that's partially why so many people did miss the point, because it was like, oh, it's just being, he's being stupid, it's funny. It's just a joke, or it's over dramatic, when the ways that they are treating the women in that movie are not exaggerated. Those things actually very much are happening, but the way they're being portrayed is that it's dramatic and a joke and it's funny, when it's not in actuality. And so I do think that that has a very big impact on people watching who don't know the difference, because it's just going to reinforce that.
I mean, like, for you and me, we can obviously tell the difference between, like, what Ken is saying and also, like, that it's not meant to be funny. But for the average child, it's like, well, he's being funny right now. This is funny, guys. Because they don't have those critical thinking skills needed to understand subtext or even outright text when it's not said in a certain way. Like, you could tell Barbie was being serious and not at all funny when she was upset and depressed. But, with Ken, his was in song.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we are talking with Kai about the Barbie movie. Is there another example you can think of in the movie where some of those behaviors were maybe missed or portrayed in a way that might seem normal, but they're really pretty icky?
At the end of the movie, Ken and Barbie are talking, right? And first off, like I said, I don't think Barbie should apologize for leading him on. She didn't lead him on. She was outright what she wanted. She didn't want to date him. Ken was also outright what he wanted, which was disrespecting Barbie. But also at the end of the movie, he threatens to jump off of her house. If you know anything but abusers, they also tend to do that. If you leave me, I will kill myself, which is what he did. And then she tries to, like, comfort him and tell him to not do that. But it was just, like, meant to be funny when in reality, that is a terrifying experience, terrifying thing for someone to have to deal with. So, like, I don't think their entire conversation that was meant to be funny, like, you could tell, was funny. Because it was just Barbie comforting Ken for being a man child, while Ken is like, but I want you so bad. Barbie's like, I do not want you. Ever. For the 53rd time in the movie.
Yeah, she does have to reiterate that point several times. And I honestly did not catch the part in my rewatch where he was going to jump off. But now that I'm thinking back to it, because there's a lot happening in that scene, and that is a tactic that people use to control their partners, especially when they are wanting to leave a partner. they will often threaten to harm themselves. And while it was done in a funny way in this movie, it is, like you said, a very traumatic thing to experience. It very much feels like you are responsible for what this person is going to do to themselves, and it changes our behavior because we don't want that responsibility, and it's a very scary thing. It's not funny at all. So the fact that a movie like this is showing that in more of a funny way, it can be really, really harmful for especially young people who are watching this, because they don't yet know. They're still trying to kind of figure that out and navigate those difficult feelings of rejection, which those feelings are very hard, but it's not okay to scare somebody or intimidate somebody or put somebody down because we feel rejected and we feel hurt. And I also noticed too, during that scene that towards the end where they actually are finally feeling like they can be vulnerable and talk about how they're feeling, which Ken doesn't really do the whole entire movie. And she had to not only comfort him, like you said, but also encourage him to go figure out who he is on his own.
But I know so many people who just have to comfort their, like, men in their lives, being like, it's okay. It's okay that I'm not gonna date you. You don't gotta do that. You really don't have to do anything for anyone after you reject them. Like, you can be friends, sure, but you don't have to comfort them because, I mean, rejection is hard, yes, but also part of rejection is learning how to take care of yourself without the other person.
How do you think that that could impact young people who see this the way that it was played out?
But I think that it kind of gives the wrong message that instead of it's okay to reject people, it comes off as, well, if you reject people, you better, be taking care of them afterwards and comforting them because how dare you reject them? Like, you made them sad. Which, so, by the way, making someone sad is not the worst thing in the world. Like, making someone upset because you set boundaries is not a bad thing because protect your peace. But I just didn't really like the whole having to comfort him thing because comforting men and having to take care of their emotions is way too prominent inside this society. I also didn't like when he was like, once I found out that the patriarchy wasn't about horses, I wasn't interested. Then why did you carry it out? Like, he found out it wasn't about horses really early on. So why did he continue to carry it out?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question to ask. And I think part of the answer might be because he could. And it was also reinforced by all of the other Kens, all of the other men in the real world. So even if he was like, oh, I'm not actually interested in this because I just thought it was about horses, he's being kind of cheered on by all of the other men to continue this behavior. And so I think it made him a lot feel more empowered to continue doing those things.
Patriarchy is also enforced by the men around men. When Ken, when you said Ken was getting like he didn't want to do these things, but the men around him wanted to, that's often seen in younger boys. They start off really nice, but once they start school, once they see all the other boys who have act certain ways regarding like women and stuff, they start developing those things because, well, I personally believe that our peers will always be our biggest influences, especially at those younger ages, because they're sort of projections of ourselves. What we see in them is kind of what we want. So when you were like, yeah, Ken was influenced by the men around him, so are young boys, teenagers, which I also just thought was really important to know.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Can you think of another example of some of those behaviors that you wanted to touch on for our conversation today?
As less behaviors and more, it made me feel icky a little bit. When they're in Los Angeles and they're rollerblading, Ken says that he's feeling respected after Barbie says that she's feeling ogled. And well, Ken was like, well, I don't feel ogled, I feel respected. My reason, like, well, I definitely feel ogled. There's one line I keep thinking about because it was meant to be funny, but it really wasn't. He was like, "There's no undertones of violence," and she's like, "Mine very much so has undertones of violence." And I get it was
Yeah.
meant to be funny, but like, again, in a society that kills women just for being women in general, I don't find those things funny because they're very much real. I mean, if you look at the news in any sort of point, you will see violence against women all throughout it. Hearing that was sort of like, that's a little bit tone deaf to say in such a humorous way, because, and then they're not expanding on it. You know, I don't think they should go on to a full like statistics regarding, you know, women death rates, but like, why does she feel violence? You know, what about it is making her uncomfortable? Because I think it's important. It's important for you to notice the signs of what is making this seem violent to you. Because being able to notice the signs is the first part. And also being able to notice that the things that they're doing, you know, that men or boys are doing that make you uncomfortable are not you overreacting. Because so many times, you know, women are told you're overreacting, it's not a big of a deal. But it is, because it's making you uncomfortable, it's a big deal.
Honestly, if your partner is feeling afraid or uncomfortable and you are not picking up on that or caring about that or validating that in any way, that is not something that we want to have happening in our relationships. That would feel really disrespectful.
Especially after she also, you know, had gotten assaulted by a guy, like on the street. I mean, smacking someone's butt who you don't know is considered sexual assault because it's an unwanted sexual, you know, thing. And so that's what also stuck with me is that also was never touched on. You know, it made me uncomfortable, yeah, but it was never touched on. She just kind of keeps going despite being uncomfortable, which I guess is common, but I just wish something had happened.
It's hard with this movie because I do think that that is the point they were trying to make. But again, if you do not understand that when you're watching, because you are somebody who doesn't have those experiences, who doesn't have that knowledge, that could have a very negative impact potentially because it's just laughed off or it's not that big a deal. And
That's just something I see all too often. It's just, well, it was just a joke, but it wasn't a funny joke. And that's kind of how I feel about, you know, like people asking people out as a joke, which often happens to women, specifically girls who are seen outside of the norm. This happened to me. If you know me for more than 5 seconds, you know I'm very awkward. I didn't have a lot of friends in middle school because I was so awkward. But I've also been very passionate, so I never really let that affect me, just because if they don't like me, that's their loss. But I would just get asked out as a joke, all the time, and it was like I never said yes because one, I don't ew. The boys who were doing it were gross, I didn't like them. Also had a partner at the time, but it was like, what about these behaviors do you find funny? Like, do you think are okay to be doing to someone you see outside of the ordinary, and especially to a girl? And I knew it was because of the peers. Like, it was because his friends thought it was hilarious to ask me on a joke. They were like, "He's such a big crush on you." Don't care. Stop talking to me. But it just kind of reinforces the behaviors that, like, it's fine as long as it's funny.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. Thank you for sharing that. I'm really sorry that that happened to you. You didn't deserve to have that happen to you. But that sort of thing does happen. And I think that you said it very well. That sort of thing definitely reinforces that if it's funny, it's fine. But if I'm not laughing, it's not a joke, right? So that excuse doesn't hold up. But I think that it's something that we hear all the time. Well, I was just joking, or you're being sensitive, or things like that. But that's not the case. I'm not being sensitive. You're being a jerk.
Also, it's sensitivity is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be sensitive. In fact,
Absolutely.
you know, in nowadays where empathy is the lost art, sensitivity is amazing, honestly.
That makes sense. Absolutely. What do you think is important for people, especially young people, to keep in mind while we are all consuming our favorite media?
Not all media is meant to be realistic, and you should watch it with a critical lens. You should interact with it with a critical lens. Make sure when you're interacting with certain medias that you separate the fiction of those medias and the reality of your life, because not all media is meant to represent everyone. Also, just because a media has a certain dynamic does not mean it's making that dynamic out to seem good. There is lots of medias I really love who represent like dynamics like abuse and like violence in really amazing ways. Because that's the point of those medias, to raise awareness in ways that other medias don't. But if you want that sort of realism, I would look for those medias rather than the ones that are going to make you uncomfortable. Because I think far too many people are just comfortable with making themselves feel uncomfortable with interacting with things that they don't like. And honestly, you shouldn't have to. Like, not everything is meant to be watched by everybody. If something makes you uncomfortable, don't watch it. Because you don't have to. It's not going to hurt you not to. But also, if you do like those medias with problematic things in them, don't defend them. Acknowledge that they're problematic, because acknowledging it is the first step to denormalizing these behaviors. Acknowledge the fact that you can like something while also realizing that it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's really important to keep in mind. And I also think having conversations like we're having can help us kind of navigate those things too, especially if we're seeing things and we're not really sure about it, or we just think it's really funny, and then we talk to somebody else who has a different take on it, can help us be a little bit more critical. So I think that that's really important. I think that you had a lot of really amazing insights, and I appreciate you being our guest and talking about the Barbie movie and sharing a little bit about your personal experiences with everybody. So thank you so much.
I'd like to thank Kai for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about Barbie, the patriarchy, and real-life effects that fiction can have on those watching. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who's interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more information about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our helpline at 1-800-315-5579.